And we will not have overhead service tonight. So you're going to have to go old-fashioned. Matthew chapter 5 and verse 13. You are the salt of the earth, but if the salt loses its flavor, how shall it be seasoned? It is then good for nothing but to be thrown out and trampled underfoot by men. Jesus is telling us a little something about who we are to the earth. See, everybody, when they become Christians, somewhere along the line, they want to reach out to the world, but then suddenly, and some preacher somewhere gets the idea that we're called to be living out in the boondocks. We're called to be away from the people. And Jesus is telling us we are the very salt. We're the very flavoring. We're the very thing they're craving. We have what they want. For years, it used to be illegal to bait deer with a salt block. Well, now they allow you to do it. I still haven't tried hunting with one, but if this coming season was anything, or this last season's anything like the new one coming up, I'm going to try it, because I didn't see very many. Because everything craves salt. You can sit and you can see the squirrels sitting on the side of the road. They're licking the salt off the road. The deer will lick the salt off the road. Everything on this earth has to have salt to survive. That's just the way it is. And God is telling us, has told us, we are the salt for the people here. And if we lose our flavor, see, that's just it. Everybody, well, I just want to go to heaven. I want to. Well, then what does that do to the earth? The Bible says that the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. That's everybody and everything belong to Him. And it is His desire for everybody. It's His desire, it's His will that all people would go to heaven, that they would serve Him. It's not His will that any should perish. Okay? That doesn't mean there aren't going to be some. But if we keep wishing ourselves out of the trials and the circumstances that surround us, so what? If we have to face a little tribulation. So what if we have to face a little bit of hard time? We forget the words of Christ. We are the salt of the earth. And I'm mentioning that for a particular reason. Now, let's turn over to Mark. Mark chapter 9. This is why we should not, oh God, take me out of this purging fire. Take me out of this thing now. I don't want to be a part of this anymore. And you know, and here's the downside. People think that just because you became a Christian, that all the problems from before stop. You still got to deal with them. You still live in a fallen world. You just now have a Savior and a help to get through them. And the greatest part of the help is understanding what the fire is doing, what that trial and that tribulation is doing to you and for you. See, we don't realize it. The word even says, no chastening feels good at the time, but eventually it will produce good fruit, right? Well, you know, exercise doesn't feel good at the time, especially if you just started it again, and then your belly hurts, you don't want to do another sit-up, your arms hurt, everything hurts. Your legs hurt, your lungs hurt, your eyelashes hurt, everything hurts. And God wants you to understand, there's a purpose. You are tearing down muscle and you are building new muscle. And these trials and tribulations are doing something for you. Mark chapter 9, verse 49. For everyone will be seasoned with fire. And every sacrifice will be seasoned with salt. Salt is good, but if the salt loses its flavor, how will you season it? Have salt in yourselves and have peace with one another. Do you know how we get the salt? Do you know how we get salty? There was a term we had in the Marine Corps. You could always tell the Marines that just came off of a med float, or any kind of float in particular, their utilities, their camis, were what we called salty. They were lighter than everybody else, even though they may have been brand new when they bought them. But because of the water in the ocean, It has salted them, and they have aged. These guys look like they've been around the world now. They've got some time. Even though the guy may have just got out of boot camp yesterday. Salt makes us more mature. And that's what Jesus was telling us here. The salt, the more salt you have, the more mature you are. The more trials you've gone through, the more you've learned, hopefully. That being the point. We learn and we learn and learn. Listen, if I keep hitting my left hand with a hammer, every time I swing a hammer, how long do you think it's going to be before I finally realize I'm no good with a hammer and go get the nail gun? Okay, I've been hit with both of them. I've shot my thumb with the nail gun and smashed my thumb with the hammer. So I'm beginning to think God doesn't want me doing that anymore. No. Because if that was the case, there's a lot of things I wouldn't be doing. I wouldn't walk through my house without all the lights being on and wouldn't have green tractors that can hide in green carpet. Those of you know what I'm talking about, little John Deere tractors, sure. But we learn from these things. The trials that we go through, they season us. The people that are not believers are going through the same things. They just aren't getting the benefit of the seasoning. Because understanding what I'm getting out of this. Not everybody wants, God, why? That's the first thing when something goes south on you, isn't it? God, why is this happening? Instead of saying, God, what can I learn out of this? This is happening, and there's something I need to learn. I can learn from this. Well, Pastor, it's the same thing over and over and over. How many times did you have to take your driver's test till you passed it? They didn't give it to you if you flunked it the first time. You kept taking it and taking it and taking it. And if you kept coming back to the same person, I'm sure he got a little tired of seeing you. But God wants us to know that those things that we're going through, the things we've been through, listen, the things you've been through in life, and I'm looking across the board here, everybody has been through different things. They've had different things happen in their lives. And those things did not happen because God wanted them to happen. Sometimes they happen because we put ourselves in situations. But we learned something, right? My father was an electrician. He knew to teach me not to stick things in light sockets and receptacles. But do you know what I did at the age of 5? I stuck a bobby pin in the electrical outlet. I never told him. Because it hurt. But I learned something that day. Dad wasn't lying. And I was always so careful around electricity. I have no problem working with electricity now. I do most of it live. I know people, oh, that's dangerous if you don't know what you're doing. I change out receptacles all the time. If you don't understand it and you don't know where things are at, you're going to get bit. And I've got a couple pair of pliers with holes in them that will tell you that it will still bite you. But see, we've learned. Now, how do we take this and go out into the world? Because Jesus said, we're the salt of the earth. We're what gives it flavor. We take what we've learned and we help them through it. We say, you know what? I've been there. And they will listen to you, folks. Listen, they will listen to you, providing you don't come off 3 or 4 steps taller than them, looking down your pious nose at them. They will listen to you if they realize this person's sincere. This person has some understanding of what I've been through or what I'm going through. Because see, and honestly, in their mind, and we've all done this, we've all said, I'm the only one who is dealing with this. I'm the only one who understands. Really? You think out of nearly 7 billion people, you're the only person who has ever had to deal with any of the circumstances you've dealt with? No. But there are people that God brings into your life who can say, I can help you. I can understand. And if they don't, then that's where God comes in with the Holy Spirit and says, here's what you need to tell them. So we're supposed to be a flavor. Things, as I was pointing out earlier, these animals will risk their life for salt. They run out in the road to lick the salt off the road. People are no different. They will risk their lives to try to find that nutrient, that one thing they need, and it's what we've got. Jesus saved us from our sins, but guess what? We still have the experience. We have the memories. You don't get rid of them. And if you found a way besides amnesia, let me know. Because the truth of the matter is, I think I'd rather hold on to my memories and learn from them because they help keep me straight, keep me in mindful of the fact I need to be forgiving of other people. I need to extend this grace to this person. Well, this person doesn't deserve. You don't know what Gloria just did. She's never done anything nice to me. And you want me to extend grace to her? Well, yeah. Exactly. Now you might be getting it. So Jesus was telling us that we're to be a part of this earth. We're to be desired. People should want to be around us. People should want to say, I like you. What is it? People follow Jesus. Even the religious skeptics of his day followed him. Because there was something. It was more than just them trying to trip him up all the time. He was saying something and they needed it. Or else they would have never followed him. You know, it kind of saddens me for two reasons. One, because I used to be like this. Two, the other part of what I was talking about to say is that anytime I see comments on articles in the news, you know, on blogs on the web, or a video that's been posted, and the religious people will get on there and they start arguing with the atheists and they start arguing amongst themselves. Who cares? Why do we argue? Especially with an atheist. Well, they don't believe there's a God. So what? It's their right. That is this country. You have the right to believe what you want to believe. God's never made anybody believe him. He'd rather you choose to believe him. Because he still loves you regardless. So he says, now, for everyone will be seasoned. Everybody. Nobody's going to get away from it. But if we want to be the real seasoning of the earth, we've got to take what we've learned and bring it to the table. So many people are trying to walk pious, and instead of saying, I was a sinner, I have heard more people say they weren't sinners. I'm sorry, then you make the word of God a liar. And I would rather choose to believe the word of God that all men have sinned than you who have not sinned. So, I've sinned. What did I learn out of that? Well, this is what I think people should do and people should act like and blah, blah, blah. No. We're not talking about that. You let God take care of the people. You let God take care of the people. I want people coming in here. I want the goths, the emos. I want the satanic priests. By the way, did you know we had a witch's daughter in here Sunday? She's a Christian, by the way. I didn't know who she was. But we've had a Wiccan. I want them to come in here. Why? Because they think they have to change out there before they can come in. You need to come in here. God's power can change you right here. We've got to be the salt. They've got to say, hey, you know what? That's why we play progressive music. We also play milder. I like the genre, the whole thing. And if we can figure out how to do jazz, hey, I like jazz. Not big on bluegrass, but there's a few of you that I know that might be. My mom, I remember, I'm an old chunk of coal. I'll never forget that song. But you know what? They've got to want to be like us. Well, Pastor, sounds like you're talking about more like being the world, like the world. No. I'm talking about flavoring the world with us. You think that Jesus only went to Christian robe makers? Christian sandal makers? Well, first off, there were none at that time. And more than likely, they would have been Jewish, but that wouldn't have been the point. Because he reached out to the sinners. He even healed a Roman citizen's servant because the man believed. So what's that tell us? That maybe we ought to try being the salt. Maybe we ought to try being what people want to be like. You know, a lot of times, you know, usually in the little boy, when you grow up, what do you want to be like? And 9 times out of 10, the little boy is going to either say a superhero or dad. And sometimes he might try to mingle them together. Well, that's who we should be like, is our Father. And realize he's multifaceted. He has to be, because he loves all of us. We come from different backgrounds. We have different likes, different dislikes. I mean, this is my wife of nearly 22 years, and we still have different likes. Is it wrong? No. We've just learned not to shove our likes and dislikes onto the other person all the time. And then when the other one does want to go to do something the other one does, we do it because we love. But you see, that's not the way the church has been doing things. Church has put a line in the sand and said, everything you do, everything is evil. Well, come on, let's be real. You have to eat. You have to wear clothes. We got people boycotting food companies because they give money to agendas that we don't agree with. Guess what? Anybody can do that. Any charity, any nonprofit can do that. All you got to do is send in a letter and ask them for a donation, and they will send you a donation. If you think I'm kidding, look over to Walmart. They've got a board of who they've given money to throughout the year, just in that area. So we need to try to be more like Christ and draw people from all walks of life. We got to be that salt, because guess what? Everybody's got to have salt. I was thinking about that tonight when I realized my other avenue of teaching tonight wasn't going to pan out. I said, Lord God, what do you want me to share? And then I remember sitting down there and eating at dinner, had beef stroganoff. And I always put a little salt on it. And I just, how much that salt adds a flavor. You want in my opinion, a good cut of steak does not require anything other than salt and pepper. If you want a good piece of meat, if you got a good quality piece of meat, salt and pepper is all you need. That's all you need for the seasoning, because it brings out the best flavors. Can you overdo it? Yes. And sometimes, like, how many of you cook potatoes and you kept putting the salt? It amazes me how much potatoes eliminate the taste of salt. I have made potato soup, and I got my big popcorn shaker full of salt, and I'm just shaking salt on them things. And I'm thinking, my goodness, I'm thinking about to have Lot's wife resurrect up out of my pot of potato soup. There's so much salt in this thing. But then a few minutes later, you can't taste it. Mashed potatoes, baked potatoes, they dissolve the salt quickly. So you have to add more, which we all know it gets rid of the flavor, but we don't get rid of the sodium. So we're hanging ourselves in reality. So God's wanting us to know that we are the seasoning to this world. Two, how to mete it out. Does God want you walking around thumping people on the head with your Bible all the time? No, it's not what he did. The Bible says every time he saw people, he was moved with compassion on them. And then the Apostle Paul later pointed out that we don't have a high priest who doesn't understand. We've got a high priest who says, you know what? I know what it was like. I know what it was like to be rejected. I know what it was like to face these temptations. Keep in mind, his own brothers. We're not talking about the brothers in the church, ladies and gentlemen. We're talking about his physical brothers. They turned their back on him and walked away. That is rejection. When your own family disowns you, now obviously they came back. They saw the error of their way, but they were freaked out. He started talking about them some things they didn't understand because they were still thinking in the flesh. Luke chapter 14. Luke chapter 14, verse 34 says, salt is good, but if the salt has lost its flavor, how shall it be seasoned? You can't re-season salt. Once it's done, it's done. It can never regain its seasoning again. That's why you have to keep adding salt to that potato. And even though you're now adding more sodium, which we now know if you have high blood pressure, aggravates that and causes it to climb. Verse 35, it is neither fit for the land nor for the dunghill, but men throw it out. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. All right, is there anybody here who does not have ears tonight? All right, I'm looking around. I see two on each head, so we're pretty good to go in here. We should all need to understand this, that if we are no longer flavoring the world, we're no longer the flavor, the thing that attracts the people to Christ. Because remember, he said, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me. If we are not lifting up Christ by our lifestyle, by our love, they don't know we're Christians because we have a I love Jesus bumper sticker. We have the fish symbol on the back of our car. They don't know we're Christians because I'm going to tell you right now, by some of the driving I've seen out of some of those cars, that's the last thing you need to do. But he said they will know you are Christians by your love. I was watching a show last night with Angela. I caught part of it, the end of it. Whether or not I agree with the man completely or totally is immaterial. But what was done to that man in this country was wrong. And it was done by the church. Because in the beginning, many of the things he believed are the very things I believe today. But he was tarred and feathered and ran out of each one of his homes. He was eventually killed. Like I said, it doesn't matter whether or not I believe everything he had to say. I believe he started out on the right path. But religion rose its ugly head and said, we don't want the Holy Spirit. We don't want what God wants. We like our set rules and regulations. This is the way it is, and this is how it's going to be. And they denied that man his constitutional rights in this country of freedom of religion. And we wonder why this country is facing judgment. We've done it in the name of God. That's what's sad. We need to show the love. It doesn't mean you're going to agree. Like I said, I know some of you don't agree with me on things, and I don't care. As long as we agree that Jesus Christ is Lord, that's all that matters. Because everything else is the same difference of whether you like Ford or you like Chevy. It's not anything that matters. The only thing that's going to get you into heaven is if your name is written in that book because you received Jesus Christ as your Lord. That is it. Well, Pastor, I think it's because we're going to go out and preach to the world. Thousands of people are going to get saved. You forget the parable of the goats. He was separating the sheep and the goats, and he said, you guys go this way because you didn't feed me, you didn't clothe me, you didn't visit me, you didn't care. Oh, but Lord, we cast out demons in your name. We led worldwide revivals. We healed the sick. The lame walked. So? He said, you never knew me. That's affecting people's lives. Many times Jesus would heal them before they believed. But no, what do? I tell you what, I'll pray for your healing if you'll accept Jesus now. Isn't that the same as witchcraft? Isn't that coercing them to do something for something that God's already paid for? But that's what we've done with the power of God. We've turned it into a show and a way to try to coerce people into receiving Jesus Christ instead of saying, you know what? God loves you. Be healed. Because God healing them will speak more volumes than our stuck-in-the-mud religion could ever do. It's all about other people. The things you've learned aren't for you to be kept up, pent up. They're for you to share. Most of you will probably never share it from up here because you have a greater pulpit. It's the world. This is not the mission field. This is called a sanctuary. This is where you're safe. It's outside those doors. That's where the mission field is. When we went down to Georgia this past fall to the minister's retreat, part of this campus, how many acres is the campus? Was it 50? It's the largest campus in the world. 50,000 acres in the mountains around Rome, Georgia. And down around the bottom, down in the flats and where all the school is and all the buildings are, it's a refuge or a sanctuary for wildlife. And that's where it would be a deer hunter's paradise, I'll be honest with you, because I saw probably hundreds of deer. They let me ride my bicycle right by them. They just laid there and watched me. I had one eat popcorn out of my hand. Okay? But just a little ways up the hill, there's a yellow sign about 10 feet in the air. It says, caution, active hunting going on. Beyond that sign, those deer were no longer safe. They had their sanctuary where they were being taken care of. Nobody would harm them. But their home was over there. Where they lived was on the other side of that sign. And I got to be honest with you, I think deer can read. Because we didn't see one deer, and I didn't hear, and they were actually hunting back there while we were there, and I did not hear one gunshot. So I think the deer can read, and they know when it's hunting season. But we're to be the salt of this earth. We're to be the flavor. When people meet us, they should walk away, that tastes like God. What is it about? What is it that I want? What is it they've got that I, why do I want to be around them? You know, you can taste salt in the air. And that's what people should feel when they walk away from us. Not sick and nauseated, fed up and frustrated. They should walk away from us thinking, I liked that. I enjoyed talking to them. As long as we are doing our job and loving people, not condemning them, it's not our job whatsoever. It's not my job to judge you, and it's not your job to judge me. It's my job to love you and your job to love me. That's the way God put it. We're to love each other the way we want to be loved. Do I want people to do things for me? Yeah, so I do things for people. That's how it works. Not always how it works out, because for far too long the church has taught, do unto others as they've done unto you. And that is a sad, sad twisting of the scriptures. So tonight, just, you know, ask yourself, God, are there any areas that I've been losing my flavor? By the way, there is one way you can get re-seasoned by God. And that's by the fire. It'll bring it back out. It burns out the impurities and you get the revelation once again. I'd like to say that it ends, but I have, like I said, I've been around the church. I actually gave my heart completely to God at 21, but I was baptized when I was 9. So I will be 43 this year. So you do the math. It's been a few years. Been through some seasoning. Been through some aging. And a lot of it was because I forgot the first time and had to go back through it again. But I pray that you don't. I pray that you hold on to it. I pray that you show other people Christ, that when they see you, they walk away with a stronger desire, to find that flavor, what that flavor was. We keep talking about sacrifices, and even in the Old Testament, how the sacrifices, certain sacrifices, was a pleasing aroma to God. That's our lives. Like I said, you can smell salt. You can taste salt in the air when it's strong. When real believers are in the area, you should feel it. You should know it. Because the love of God is in that area. And don't ever let the devil condemn you. I'm going to go back right and piggyback on last week's message. Don't ever let the devil keep condemning you. You keep reminding yourself you're a work in progress and the kingdom of heaven was not built overnight. That fig tree did not sprout up overnight. It took some time for it to build up. It took time to get strength. Anything that grows up so quick overnight usually falls and breaks. That, to be honest with you, from a construction standpoint, is one of my biggest concerns for houses today. They can have a house start to finish done in less than 6 months, when it used to take a year or more. And it's not because we've sped up, gotten better tools and stuff. It's because they're cutting corners on things. I saw a house, they built the foundation. The temperature never got above 30. That meant the mortar was froze. The house has got a bad foundation. and it will not last. I've got a house that turns 100 years old this year. 100. The concrete's finally cured. So are the maple studs and the oak boards in the walls. And they're petrified too. But you know what? That house will stand because when they built it, they knew they had to take their time and let things cure. That's the way God builds things. He doesn't come along and say, well, we're going to throw a house right here on top of this and we're not going to build a proper foundation. He says, no, we're going to dig down to the proper foundation. I got to share this with you, and then I will close. Today I got to meet a man. He's 93, and he's expecting to go home with the Lord soon. But we were talking, and somehow the conversation came on to the GM plant up in Ontario. They're doing something. They've tore off some big sections of it up there. And he said, him and the other gal, she says, I lived up there when they were building that. She said, I thought it was built in the 50s. And he said, well, he said, I actually worked on that building, on those buildings when they were being put in. He said, it's 55. And he said, my job was to pour the footers and the foundations for all the presses. And I'm thinking, okay, yeah, I mean, I knew they were going to take extra concrete. I'm thinking maybe pouring the concrete three, maybe 4 feet thick right there. I said, so how deep was the foundations right there, you know, the concrete itself? I said, was it 3 or 4 feet? And he said, oh, no. He said, they're 20 feet deep, solid concrete and rebar. Yeah, yeah. And I was just like, 20 feet. They took time because they knew that machine could shake everything else. So even man knows it takes some time to do it right.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my gosh, those pits were.
Yeah.
And the presses were long, and you wouldn't think that.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that's, you know, even in the building next door, the concrete is about 8 inches thick. And these were small machines compared to what these big factories had. So keep in mind, God's been working on the foundation. He's more concerned about the foundation. If the walls blow away on a house, guess what? You can still build on a good foundation. The foundation is what is always the concern. Crack the foundation, the house is now weak. So I promised I'd end. I had another story pop in, but I will end. Let's stand. And as soon as I can get the everything over here, we will pick back up on our study in the Bible, and we are at the Exodus, and like I said, I've actually found even a better video, more modern footage, and better quality video. I think the other one was done in the early 80s, so it's 80s. It had been good in the 80s. But I think my cell phone takes better videos. So let's pray. Father, I thank you and I praise you, Lord God, for your wondrous, wondrous love. And I pray now, Lord God, that as each one of us go about our days, Father, you help us to remember to be the salt, Father, to not be offensive, not to overdo it, but to apply the right amount that will keep people coming back, that will make them want more. Just as too salty of food repulses us, but the right amount makes us crave it even more. Help us to meter that out properly, Father. And now, Lord, I pray for each and every person in here. I bless them in the name of Jesus. I pray that you touch their bodies, heal their bodies right now, the aches and pains, sickness. I command you to go in the name of Jesus Christ. They are healed. That is what Isaiah said. They were healed. So I thank you, Lord God, that you are moving right now on their behalf. Father, that you're even opening some doors. Father, you're opening doors that look like the devil closed them on. But he can't do that. And you're going to reopen those in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise God. Well, you're dismissed tonight.